Welcome to Talos Takes, the security podcast for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Talos Takes. This is John Muntra, joined today by Azeem Kojabaya from the Talos Intelligence Threat Interdiction and Response Team. Thanks for coming on, as always, Azeem.
Hey, I'm always glad to be here, John.
So I wanted to talk to you today because there's been some recent news around various dark web forums and popular websites. And these places are, you know, this is a topic that you and I have talked about multiple times and that you're obviously familiar with. So I thought you'd be a good person to talk to about the current situation with Genesis Marketplace and breach forums. So this episode will come out next Friday. So it's been a few weeks since these takedowns and law enforcement efforts happened. But can you kind of give a high-level overview of kind of what happened in these cases and where they stand currently?
Yeah, sure. We'll start off with breached forums. Breached forums was what we would describe an English-speaking cybercrime forum where it served several different purposes, including being a marketplace, but an exchange of both information and commodities between threat actors. And it kind of was a response to an already shut down forum called Raid Forums, which was a precursor to that. And one of members of Raid Forums named Pom, which is short for Pom Purin, very well-known persona on Raid Forums, decided to create Breached Forums. And Breached Forums came on just a little over a year ago. It became very popular. It was very impactful in the cybercrime community. And over time, it reached a huge level of activity. Nevertheless, it appears that, or allegedly, the administrator, the person that I just mentioned, a Pom Purin, did indeed reside in a place where law enforcement had reached to them and were allegedly apprehended. And thus, Breached Forums was also taken down, which was a significant step and a win for the law enforcement community. Several weeks later, a marketplace called Market Genesis, the reason it's called Market Genesis is because it was one of the very first ones to be a marketplace for stolen user credentials or access to compromised machines, servers, networks, etc. And it was a pretty easy way for threat actors to obtain this type of access. The market operated for several years. It was very, very successful and very popular on several cybercrime forums. And that takedown, again, was also a huge win for law enforcement. Those two are not related in any direct way, but they do share the common cybercrime space. And it does seem like recently, with not only ransomware networks and partnerships, law enforcement has really made a big step in interdiction as far as it's taken down the platforms and places for some of these bad guys to operate in.
So in these types of cases, you know, obviously you weren't there hands-on, but can you kind of give us an idea of like how law enforcement can kind of go about with these takedowns? You know, what kind of kernels might they follow to figure out as much information as they can? What's the actual kind of technical work that needs to go into taking these sites offline?
Yeah, so I think in this day and age and the way the bad guys have spread themselves out as far as using infrastructure, law enforcement, I think, also uses a lot of partnerships and information to put pieces together and create a big picture. It's just like one big puzzle. For example, a law enforcement agency in one country can all of a sudden work and become a partner with a law enforcement agency in a different country, different part of the world, and put different pieces of evidence together and see that there is something that they can actually act on. From my understanding, just from the outside point of view, is the law enforcement goes a lot by digital forensics and digital evidence that is directly ties a lot of these threat actors or infrastructure to certain places that they have access to. For example, if it is a virtual server provider that is a bulletproof hosting provider that what would be described as that operates out of the North American space, European space, from, you know, just for our purposes, law enforcement, once they have evidence that usually comes from a mistake or a misconfiguration on the bad guy side, they can act on that evidence directly and interdict, which is what happened, I believe, in the Hive ransomware operation in January, and same with Breached and Market. Mm-hmm.
So after these takedowns happen, you know, I was reading that estimates for both of these sites, Genesis Marketplace and Breach Forums, they had like thousands of users, if not more. So what kind of happens then to those users or cyber criminals? Maybe users is not being harsh enough. What kind of happens to them then after these sites get shut down? Because I would imagine they pretty much just go and try to find some other place to conduct these same activities.
Well, I think the first the reaction on some of these participants is what kind of evidence has been collected by law enforcement in their previous forum. And depending on that, how active they were, I would assume that some of them would try to at least lay low for near future.
Uh-huh.
Nevertheless, when there's a vacuum created by takedown, that vacuum is filled through time and the nature of the economic need of cybercrime space and platforms. The initial reaction usually goes through places like Telegram channels or third-party messaging platforms that allow them to fly under the radar a little bit and establish communications. And through those communications and relationships, new markets, new forums, new ideas start to formulate and new ways to set them up. The bad guys do learn from the introduction methods of the law enforcement site and try to create more protected environments for their operations.
And then in terms of like the long-term fight against these types of sites and like maybe not necessarily small time, but you know, you're kind of equated to like petty street crime, that type of stuff. What are some longer term steps we should be taking to kind of keep these sites from being so popular in the first place? Or does it really just kind of fit into the overall broader cybersecurity picture of like literally everything we've been talking about on the show, you know, for 100 plus episodes?
No, that's a really good question. I think the idea of eliminating all cybercrime, or at least that part check of cybercrime, is most certainly a good goal that we all should strive for, and probably, truthfully, a little idealistic. But the common industry, and I wouldn't just say industry, the common bad guy fight acceptance is that we impose costs or make it difficult for them to do these things. And the more you interdict, the more you take down their sites, the more you make it, the lifespan of these things shorter, the less ability they have to influence and grow to a place that they can really make some bad impact. So it's the frequency of responses and interdiction that are kind of tied to your previous question of observing the reactions and maybe taking advantage of those things when you do take them down.
Yeah.
And put yourself in the position to always kind of stay on the proactive side to see where those, you know, the market leads and try to establish yourself there and take it down. So these things do have an impact. I know that. And I know that these guys eventually do create another way of doing what they do. But the more we go after them, the more we impose costs and the more we demonstrate that it's going to just make it harder and harder for them to do so. And maybe eventually they'll make the right economic choice to just stop.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks as always for your insight into these matters, Azeem. I appreciate your time as always. I hope you have a good weekend.
I hope you have a good weekend as well, John. Take care.